Power Hour Nation. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. I'm your honored host, Daniel Berigman. So good to be with you. Fantastic broadcast today. If you're listening, you can check us out online, thepowerhour.com. Thepowermall.com is our product site, but thepowerhour.com, you can listen live at the top. L.A. Marzulli, he's an author, he's a researcher, he is extremely interesting. He's got a new series about mound builders out, and he sent them to me. He sent me two videos, there's two episodes out. I watched part of the first one. I got it only yesterday, and I'm enthralled. I think you'll be amazed or certainly interested. If any of this interests you at all, giants, Nephilim, aliens, if that interests you at all, I think you're really going to like this interview with L.A. Marzulli. And the new information about this, and also a line of disclosure, and talking to him this morning, I just hang around. I think you're really gonna like this interview with him. We're gonna do the news before that with Uncle Kevin. Uncle Kevin, welcome to the Power Hour.
It's great to be back again, Dan, and I love giants.
You love giants. How many have you met?
One. You. This guy's about 7'4" and about 480 pounds.
Close, but not really. But about 6'6".
That's how you can down two pizzas in one sitting.
That's what the first time I saw Joyce in person, she looked up and said, "Oh my gosh, you're a giant." It's pretty funny. Let's start I'm going to start news with a couple of quotes from George Washington, and I'm going to tie it in. They're across the internet, some people are calling for prayers at 9 o'clock every day. So I'm going to connect these two together. This is from George Washington. "The time is near at hand which must determine whether Americans are to be free men or slaves. The time is near at hand which must probably determine whether they're going to be free or not, whether they are to have any property they can call their own, whether their houses and farms are to be pillaged and destroyed, and themselves consigned to a state of wretchedness from which no human efforts will deliver them. The fate of unborn millions will now depend, under God, on the courage and conduct of this army. Our cruel and unrelenting enemy leaves us only the choice of a brave resistance or the most abject submission. We have, therefore, to resolve to conquer or to die." Another quote. This is after the war. This Revolutionary War. "It is impossible to govern the world without God. It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly implore His protection and favor. I am sure there never was a people who had more reason to acknowledge a divine interposition in their affairs than those of the United States. And I should be pained to believe that they have forgotten that agency which so often manifested during the Revolution, or that they failed to consider the omnipotence of Him who is alone able to protect them. He must be worse than an infidel who lacks faith, and more than wicked that has not gratitude enough to acknowledge His obligations."
That's beautiful.
So at 9 o'clock every day, 9 p.m., there's a call out through the internet to take 1 minute to pray or meditate, whatever you do for to connect with something higher than yourself, to pray for the destruction of the UN, destruction of the deep, whatever that is trying to protect America that's taking this freedom, that there may be a rejuvenation. I'm going to add that there may be a rejuvenation of the principles of law. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Because you have forgotten my law, I will forget your children. Okay, there's a lot in that. And pray for knowledge. Pray that we can remember the law, and the law specifically, in this case, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, and then the connection with our dominion straight from the Bible. All those things are connected. And the miracle that happened in 1776, on to the end of the Revolutionary War, the Bill of Rights, the miracle that occurred on our behalf, we can never forget. And we need to go back to God, and we need a miracle now, because we're not strong enough to handle this. They've gotten over us. The secret combinations, the conspiracy, the whatever, the deep state, it's gotten on top of us. But God can do all things, and nothing is impossible to God. So, ladies and gentlemen, every night, 9 o'clock, or whatever time, if everybody does it together at the same time, it's even more powerful. And it's the feeling. Remember, you send out your mind, your energy field sends out signals, and you send out to the universe, and the universe is waiting to resonate back. God is waiting to interfere on our behalf. And he will.
He will.
I promise you. So,
and it doesn't matter what time zone you're in either.
It's 9 o'clock.
Just 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock wherever you are. So don't, or whatever convenient, you know, maybe it's bedtime. I don't know. Please, we want millions of people praying for this, at least hundreds of thousands in America.
Yeah.
We want millions, but let's get tens of thousands. And the effect
we'll
that tens of
fast.
Thousands, believe me, God will hear our cries.
Mm-hmm. Sure will.
Getting to the news, over 300,000 flee violence in Congo amid massive Ebola outbreak.
Mm-hmm. And war.
And on the heels of the Ebola outbreak, they're having a war there. So now you got about 300,000 refugees. Now, these are refugees. They're fleeing. A refugee doesn't fly halfway across the world and end up in America. I don't know what that's all about.
Well,
but
it's all about minerals over there. Did you know that?
Well, I know there's a lot of minerals in Africa, but...
Yeah, coltan specifically.
Coltan, what's that used for?
Cloaking. Devices?
On the military.
Yeah, the military. It's a military thing.
Well, I don't care what the situation is. To let immigrants, refugees, whatever you want to call them, from Congo, to let anybody from Congo into your country unabated and unwatched and unquarantined is
insane.
Careless at best. Insane.
Insane.
It's
and they should be locked up.
Israel holds large military drill amid U.S.-Iran tensions. Israel's all more than ready to fire
somebody.
They
like to scrap.
They're ready.
Yeah, those people like
Gaza. They like this new Kushner quote unquote peace deal.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna get that Gaza Strip and we're gonna bomb Iran. You can see it now.
That's right. We're gonna build new settlements.
Fears for Merkel's health after she violently shakes while meeting Ukrainian president. Ooh. I can. This is kind of reminiscent of Hillary.
Yeah.
I can remember Joyce. She, you know, little old Joyce. She, you know, a private conversation we'd be talking. She said, you know, I would just love to see Hillary in the news conference just shaking her head just pop off. She said that. You may not believe that, but she said it. Believe me, I was there. This is kind of reminiscent of the same thing. Why is she shaking? She said, well, I was dehydrated. Okay, all right. Well, maybe something's wrong with her. I don't know.
She's possessed.
She's possessed with the idea to change Germany and change Europe, that's for sure.
Yes, sure is.
Talking about population, the world's population is projected to nearly stop growing by the end of the century. So what's that, 80 years, about mm-hmm. 80 years? This is from Pew Research Center. For the first time in modern history, the world's population is expected to stop. Fertility rates are part of that.
Plummeting.
Yes, they're plummeting. I mean, you know, THX-1138, was that it?
Yeah.
THX-11,
mm-hmm.
We've talked about
Robert
that several
Duvall.
Times. Yeah, made by George Lucas. If
mm-hmm.
you want to see
what some
people want our future to look like, and then you'll see the preciousness of children. You know, people, they say, well, I don't want children born in this time. Children are the future. Children are the hope. You bring them up. You indoctrinate them in truth and hope and real justice, not social justice, real justice. And inject them with all these things, the future will change because they're there.
That's right.
So you want to affect the future, you know, your grandchildren, your children. Mm-hmm. That's why I have implored you. I have begged you. I don't know what else to do. I would stand on my head for an hour if it made a difference that you consider getting your children's minds away from the public, quote unquote,
That's
education
right.
system. New Zealand man jailed for 21 months for sharing the Christchurch shooting video. Have you seen this? You just 21 months. That's 2 years almost.
2 years. Yeah, that's crazy. That's totally insane. I would not like to live in that lousy country. So,
well, the video went live over the internet. So
I know.
So he's sharing. So you're putting him in jail for sharing. You know,
for sharing it. Now, is it for sharing it or just watching it? I know it's for. You get penalized. He wanted to share it. So he had it downloaded, or maybe he just sent the URL out.
No, he was going to try to edit the video and then send it out again.
Oh.
He apparently didn't like Muslims, and so the judge was not happy about that either. So if you don't like Muslims, then now like Muslims and you want to share a video, then you're going to jail.
This is what happens when you don't have a Bill of Rights.
Well, it's not enforced, yeah. Norway's island wants to be the first time-free zone. It's called Summer Island. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. There's an island up in Norway
sure
off the mainland. you know, in the winter for about 3 months or so,
mm-hmm.
it's totally dark, no light at all. Okay. Well, in the summer, just the reverse, it's totally light.
Totally light, all right. Totally light. Makes sense.
So it's routine for people at 2 o'clock in the morning to be mowing the grass or painting their house. I mean, really, like 2 o'clock in the morning. And so they want to, there's a bill, they want to make it, there's no time. There's no time on this small island. There's not a lot
Wait
of people who live
there. I mean, it doesn't change.
But there's no time.
There's no watch?
Yeah, right. There'll be no time.
That's pretty crazy.
It'll be an untimed area, which will be very interesting because time is a construct that actually, you know, kills us, really, if you think about it. That's fascinating.
So they must not work up there.
No, they work. There's only 300 people on this island.
Oh, well, that's...
And a big part of it is tourism. You know, a big part of their industry is tourism. So it's kind of a tourist ploy. You know, come to the island of time zone.
I
so pretty interesting. You know, I think it's crazy. 2 o'clock in the morning, people are mowing their grass or something. Yep. It's funny.
Is there any grass growing up there? It's so cold.
Well, it's summer, yeah. I guess it's light 24 hours a day, I guess. Apparently, that's what the article says.
Oh, okay.
Senate leaders agree on emergency border funding. Senate Republicans and Democrats have reached a deal in principle for an emergency funding bill to address the surge in migrants at the border. But they won't pay to put a wall there to stop the migrants so we don't have to fund all this.
Mm-hmm.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Perfect sense. Trump vows, this made you giddy. Your watch picked up a couple
it
seconds.
It did.
Trump vows to deport millions of migrants, but it is unclear how.
Just the thought of it. That's just going to predicate all across the United States.
You sound.
It's just like this thing at 9 o'clock.
The
thought of it going across the United States is going to infiltrate everybody. And done. It is done. I declare it. It is done.
Okay, how is it going to get done?
I don't know.
Because the people who know about this, who not political people who know about what they're dealing with, are scratching their head. Well, this is not like waving a magic wand, and
true.
This is going to happen.
I agree. It's beyond my pay grade, so I'm just leaving it to Trump.
So, you sound like a lunatic right now. Will you listen to what you just said?
But a happy one.
Well, I mean, there's a heck of a lot of...
It doesn't make you smile that he said that?
That I'm laughing at you.
No, that he said that?
Yes,
it does make you happy.
Of course it makes it happy that he said that. But he also said that vaccines are unsafe on the election trail, and then he said that now everybody needs to get a vaccine.
He might have not been talking to us.
Well, I know he wasn't talking to me because I'm not getting one. House committee to hear proposal for slavery reparations. I mean, that story just keeps coming up.
That's ridiculous.
Let's put
ours in now.
I'm all for it.
Yeah, let's do it.
You've made us slaves by this Federal Reserve System. I want my reparations.
And big time. They've stole.
Black, white, yellow, red, whatever.
Let's
get in line. Where's our reparations?
1923 to 31, they stole $80 billion a year.
I want my comeuppance right now.
We want our $80
billion. I knew I had to do something, says 11-year-old boy who struck thief with a machete.
Ooh.
So he's in his home alone, summer. He was supposed to be at camp, so it just kind of worked out. They didn't, his parents didn't have anybody to, stay at home alone.
Yeah.
He's responsible. Just stay at home, play video games, watch TV, whatever. Well, somebody came in, broke in the house, and tried to steal his PlayStation. And they grabbed, look at this kid. This kid's, he's a baseball player. He's apparently pretty good on a traveling baseball team, 11-year-old team. They put him in the closet, and then they went and started robbing the house. Well, the kid had bought a machete with his dad to go not hunting, but camping and things like that.
Right.
The kid, this 11-year-old, this is an adult. The adult was kind of turned. This kid grabs the machete, comes out of the closet, swings full-on Babe Ruth style, slaps the guy in the back of the neck, cuts him. The guy turns around, starts kicking the kid, and then he realizes blood is pouring down his body. Blood is all over the place. The kid apparently really cut him.
Good.
And then the guy freaked out and left.
Did they catch him?
Yeah, and they eventually caught him. 11 years old.
Awesome.
That's amazing. Out of all the people in Washington, D.C., how many of them do you think would be spies?
Oh, a lot.
A number.
60%.
60%?
Yeah.
There's millions of people in D.C.
I thought you thought just meant the people worked.
City of Secrets. There's an estimated 10,000 people in Washington, D.C. are spy. And the FBI kind of corroborates this. This isn't just conjecture. The FBI is close to that number. 10,000 people there are absolute spies. That's what they're saying. That means it's more like 100,000.
Yeah, exactly. Just like the polls that Biden's ahead of Trump down in Florida.
Trump had 40,000 people trying to come to his rally. 40,000 people trying to get into this rally.
Yeah.
And Biden has about 150.
150.
But Biden's 10 points ahead of Trump. Sure.
And it's the same poll, Quinnipiac, I think, that had DeSantis losing to Gilliam down there.
You're talking about the governor?
Governor, yeah. Mm-hmm. Same polling.
Is the Federal Reserve about to cave to Trump's demand to cut interest rates?
Yeah.
Trump keeps badgering,
and I heard it's going to be done pretty quick.
At less than 2.5%, the Fed's main benchmark rate remains low by historical standards, meaning that any cuts at this point would further limit the central bank's ability to fight a recession when it strikes.
Mm-hmm.
Since when is the Fed supposed to fight recession? I mean, see how upside down. But that statement is telling in this article. That's exactly, they won't be able to.
No, they won't.
They won't.
I'm just praying that. I know Trump said he wants that 0% to the little people like us and people who start businesses and houses and stuff like that. Hope he can do it.
Speaking of houses, tiny houses entice budget-conscious Americans. Americans are tired of budgets and the price of houses, so they build. You know, you can, for $10,000,
$20,000,
have a house.
You can have a house. Livable. Small.
But livable.
But livable.
Yeah, it depends on where you live, you know, what you do. I mean, it's more space than you get in Manhattan.
Manhattan? Oh, man, I lived there for a while. You didn't get much.
Yeah. Anyway, New York lawmakers agree to historic climate plan. So, you know, the governor, by executive order there, is pushing through this no coal power. They want, by 2030, to have no... let me see if I'm getting this right. They want to reduce emissions by 40% by 2030 and 85% by 2050.
What are they going to do, ban all the cars?
And then they want the remaining 15% of emissions would be offset. Offsets on. So New York, the whole state is going to be carbon neutral. Carbon-based life forms, carbon-based life, carbon-based everything in this world, they want to have zero carbon footprint. The power they want to get, that means no coal plant. That means they want to have wind and solar, which, you know, is a fine idea, but it hasn't, you know, why don't they call James McKinney? Why is no government calling James McKinney with his wing generator?
Yeah, put a wing generator on top of the Empire State Building.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is... You know, we've been talking about the climate agenda, the climate business model, the control grid. Well, the governor of Cuomo, not only is he signing abortion bills left and right with some demonic smile, now he is pushing through this whole...
It's because of all that money he made.
Trump EPA rolls back Obama rule on coal-fired power plants to go along with that. So while these governors of these states... Cuomo is trying to get rid of them.
Trump is trying
to fire them up.
That's good.
Coal plants are relatively clean.
Relatively clean.
They're very clean. They're actually very clean with the scrubbers they have.
Yes, very, very clean, especially when they use those pellets. They grind up the coal and make pellets out of it and take out all those pollutions.
Yes. This is Ron Paul. He raises a big concern. This is an important story. It's not getting enough attention. Medical IDs, enemy of privacy, liberty, and health. Last week, the House of Representatives voted in favor of a Labor, Health, and Human Services and Education's Appropriation Bill amendment to repeal the prohibition on the use of federal funds to create a unique patient identifier. What does this mean? It means now, if this goes through, the government will have the quote-unquote authority to create a medical identifier to every American.
Oh, that is not good.
With all your medical info, that you know, and then they can mandate it somehow.
Is that like a little star that they used to put on people's...
Well, except this star will have all your information on it. There's an award-winning farm, I think it's in Iowa. Is this in Iowa? Yes, in Iowa. Dairy cows fed coffee creamer for best milk results.
I can see it. Yeah, very good. You don't have to put it in your coffee. It's already in there.
Another story out of Hollywood. These movies are not making their number.
They're way short.
And people are I think people are rejecting what's come out of Hollywood. Mm-hmm. I think, for me, if there's a good movie that comes up, it would succeed. But they really aren't making good. I haven't seen any good movies.
We did see Godzilla or whatever it is. I liked that movie.
I liked it just because of the nostalgia of when I was a child.
All that social justice and all that stuff is garbage.
Mercola, buried reports hide details of medical device failures. Investigative journal from Kaiser Health discovered buried reports in the FDA deal detailing medical device malfunction and patients' injuries. You know, that's the third leading cause of death is death by doctor.
Yeah, just watch your TV if you watch a commercial. You got every third commercial is, if this device has failed, call L&L Lawyers, you know? So, I can believe that 100%.
Well, so if it's a third leading cause of death, maybe it's the number one cause of death, but death by doctor. We just don't know.
We don't know. It's terrible.
There's an Ayurvedic herb. If you know Ayurvedic, that's kind of the Indian dot Indian, not feather Indians, right. Dot Indians, kind of their herbal medicine, their herbal, way of whatever they do, their medicine.
Okay.
Lack of a better word. Displays powerful cardioprotective effects in diabetes. The nut tree, and I can't even, there's a scientific name, Semicarpus anacardium. It's to prevent cardiovascular complications caused by diabetes. And they studied it in rats and what have you. So there you go, nut tree.
Mm. I believe it.
Sriracha, here's why this spice could be good for your body. Have you ever put sriracha on anything?
No. No.
Mexican food sometimes, Chinese food or Korean food uses sriracha a lot. Mm. I like it on certain things. Very good. Well, it's be
you
good
put
to your body.
Eat more.
I guess. Chili peppers, antioxidant effects, vitamin A, vitamin C, combat pathogens. Sriracha combats pathogens.
Huh? Good for that.
There's the music. Ellie Marshall is coming up. I really believe you're going to like this interview if those subjects interest you at all. So thank you, Uncle Kevin.
Yeah, thank you. I'm looking forward to listening to L.A.
Yep. God bless you, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rents.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rents.com.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio's Superfood. I've taken Bio's Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Numana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high-fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food stores I love to eat. Yum!
Welcome back to the Power Hour. ThePowerMall.com, that's where all the great products that we have, the clays, 10% off, 10% off silver botanicals, the deodorant. We have some clearance items, 20% off there. Also Strauss Heart Drops. Please consider and buy from the good guys. Buy from the Power Mall. ThePowerMall.com. 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. We thank you for your purchases, your donations, and your great thoughts and attention. Thank you so much. Our next guest, this is a real treat. It's been a while. We got to have him on a little more regularly. He's always so fun when he comes here. He's an author. He's a lecturer. He's a filmmaker. He's written, I don't know, probably 10 or 15 books. I think it's 13. I may be off by one. Made about the same amount of movies. His new series is called On the Trail of the Nephilim. I have the video in my hot little hand. I've watched a good bit of it, and I am just enthralled. We're excited to have him. L.A. Marzulli, welcome back to the Power Hour.
Hey, great to be here again. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. I gave you a brief introduction to our audience, but tell us a little bit about yourself. How in the world did you, you're world-renowned for your searching and looking and researching all these type of subjects. How did the world did you ever get into this?
You know, I'm a student of the esoteric, the occult, all things supernatural since I was like 14, 15 years old. And so, you know, I mean, that's when I really started getting into it, started reading and became a devotee of Carlos Castaneda, which is, you know, I've completely renounced all that, obviously, as a Christian. But before then, I mean, I was involved in the occult. This is 1964, 65. You remember the Beatles bring in all this Eastern mysticism. There's the largest resurgence of occult books and occult activity in decades, really, that came. An influx of occult material, occult books came in the 60s. And, you know, I was at Woodstock, and I kind of lost my way, never really found my way home till I hit 30. So, you know, it was, I was immersed in this stuff. I had a guru, Guru Maharaji. I attained secret knowledge. My third eye was open. You know, I had spirit guides. I mean, I was deep, deep, deep in what you would call the new age. So I'm on both sides of the aisle. When I was 30, I realized that I exhausted everything I could possibly find, and dabbled in. And I was reading a book by the late David Hunt. And at the end of the book, he asked, you know, if anybody wants to receive Jesus. And I basically said, alone in my own room, I just said, I don't know who you are, but I've tried everything else. So I'm circling back to my Catholic roots. I'm not even sure how this all works. But, yeah, come into my heart and change it. My life's a train wreck. And that was the beginning of a very intense Paul on the road to Damascus, 3-year, what I would call spiritual boot camp. And because I had opened myself up to the demonic with all the occult underpinnings, which I just described, it was not very pleasant, let's put it that way, for about 3 years, 3.5 years. And that's just a little bit about me. And I became a worship leader. I was always a musician. I played in numerous rock and roll bands, and you know, came close to getting the record deal. I think looking back now, the Lord deliberately withheld that from me for reasons that are pretty obvious. But I was immersed in biblical studies from 30 to 40. I married. We had 2 children then. And I was just, every time a church was open, I was there, and I became a worship leader, wrote a lot of Christian songs. But at about 40 years old, the Lord began to go, well, guess what? We're going to bring up all that stuff that you were involved in, and we're going to make a ministry out of it. Now, that's not what he told me, but that's basically what happened. And so I kind of have a unique perspective in the sense that I've been on both sides of the aisle. I've been about as deep as the New Age you can get. I mean, I didn't take ayahuasca, but I did LSD and magic mushrooms and psilocybin and everything else I could get my hands on. Not to get high, but to break through, to contact the other side, contact the spirit guides, contact the ancient alien, the grays, whatever you want to call it. That's what I was into. And of course, that's why I think I have a unique perspective, because being a Christian and a follower of Jesus, who's my Lord and Savior, I better get that out of the way. Not that I want to get it out of the way, but I want to state that emphatically. That's the game changer. And having been on both sides of the aisle and know the counterfeit, know the deception, and then know the fullness of becoming a Christian, being filled with the Holy Spirit and being led by Him and having God's Word just revealed, there's a huge difference, a huge difference.
Your new series, you sent me a couple of videos, episode 1, episode 2, and it's episodic. There's more that are going to come. We'll talk about that later. On the Trail of Nephilim, that's what we're going to focus on here for a while. What is this? Why this time are you making these films?
You know, I gotta just give a shout out to my friend, my battle buddy, Russ Dizdar, because it was Russ that was years ago, probably 8 or 9 years ago, I was going to a conference in Newark, Ohio, and Russ called me up and he goes, hey, LA, do you know where you're going? And I go, yeah, I'm going to Newark, Ohio. And he starts chuckling. He starts laughing like, and you got to know Russ, to, when he starts laughing like that, you know, he's just got something up his sleeve. And he goes, are you by your computer? And I go, yeah. And he goes, Google Nephilim Chronicles, Fallen Angels in the Ohio Valley. I went, what? And I Google it, it's a book by Fritz Zimmerman. And at this point in time, I figured, you know, I'm done with the Nephilim. I wrote the Nephilim trilogy. I talked about it in Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. So, you know, it's all good. And, you know, I'll move on to more UFO stuff. Boy, was I ever to learn a lesson, and was I ever surprised. I get a hold of this book. Later on, Fritz and I meet, and it was just, and because I was in Newark at this conference, I knew about or found out about from one of the people who were attending the conference about the so-called Great Circle Mountain. I've been here numerous times since, but this was like 8, 9, 10 years ago, whenever. And I walk into this Circle Mountain. This is 1,200 feet in diameter in Newark, Ohio. And I walk in there and my jaw drops. And I just stand in the entrance of this thing for probably 5 minutes and my hair is on end. And I'm just like, I'm dumbstruck at what I'm looking at. Absolutely dumbstruck at what I'm looking at.
Because why?
This was, well, just the circle mound, just the fact that this huge mound with a moat, 1,200 feet in diameter, and I'm going like, okay, Native Americans built this? I'm not buying that. And I never bought that from the get-go. So there's a phrase I've coined, Nephilim architecture, fallen angel technology. This led to our multiple trips to Peru, the DNA evidence, the elongated skulls, and finally, to the new series, On the Trail of the Nephilim. There are 2 that are available to the public, Mysterious Mound Builders and Mathematical Mysteries of the Mound Builders. The third film will be out in July. I'm sending it off tomorrow or Friday to the duplicator, so we'll have that. And that's Secrets of the Supernatural, Voices from the Other Side. And we just finished filming yesterday, as a matter of fact, the DNA film, which is number 4. So we are on the trail. I think people will find it absolutely interesting. And, you know, you and I talked before the show, and thank you for the comments that you made regarding it. Appreciate it.
Well, I started watching it, and I, to be frankly, to be frank with you, I was disappointed that I didn't have more time to finish the whole thing. You know, I was watching it this morning, and I was really enthralled, and I talked to you and what have you. Okay, the movie starts basically in Florida. There was, I can't remember the name of the town, but there were some mounds in Florida. Now, help our audience understand this idea of mounds. There's mounds all over, like, the Midwest, Michigan, even down to Florida, like I just said.
Yes.
What is
yes.
a mound? Discuss that.
Well, here's the deal. There's, these mounds are, like you said, really from the Great Lakes all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico. And modern day archaeologists insist that Native Americans built them. But we know when we go back into the records of the Smithsonian Institute and other records from the 19th century that these people who were going and exploring these things were going, no. There's advanced mathematics. There seems to be surveying techniques here. There's way too much dirt. We're looking at something else, a lost race. And all this was changed basically when Cyrus Thomas took the lead in the 1890s. And he said, nope, Native Americans, this is exactly what he said. Native Americans built the mound, but they just forgot that they had done so. And that became the, yeah, I know. That became the prevailing paradigm, which is regurgitated in all things archaeological at the university level. So these mounds, you've got mounds like Cahokia, which is upwards of, 500,000 tons of earth. Poverty Point, 390,000 tons of earth. The Newark Circle Mound, an octagon mound, the Newark Earthworks Complex, over 500,000 tons of earth. Miamisburg, very, very large mound. And they make up names like the Adena and the Hopewell because they don't know what they call themselves. They have no idea who these people actually were. It seems like they did not leave a written record. So we started delving into this, and that's what the film Mysterious Mound Builders, and we actually, I can get into this a little bit later, but archaeologists insist that Native Americans used primitive tools, and over a period of hundreds and hundreds of years, they built these mounds. Because in the Darwinian circle, and people who adhere to the Darwinism, and most archaeologists, scientific community, adhere to the Darwinian principles, not all, but most do. So they have no room for the supernatural. They have no room for things like God or the Nephilim or spirit beings or angels or demons. Those things don't, compute. Those things don't factor in to their worldview. And that's fine. They can think whatever they want to think. As a Christian, as a born-again believing Christian, we know that the Bible, you remove the supernatural elements from the Bible, and what's left? A bunch of genealogies and some battles, and that's about it. It's the guidebook to the supernatural. The Bible is a guidebook to the supernatural. And it tells us how to, interface with the spirit of a living God once we're born again and spirit filled, which is just incredible. So anyway, and it tells us about principalities and our cones and wickedness in high places. And it tells us about the heavenly war. Well, guess what? And this is the whole purpose of the film. If the Nephilim were on the earth in those days, Genesis 6, and also afterwards, can we find evidence of that? And in my opinion, yes, we can. It's global. It's everywhere. From the enigmatic large, sometimes 50 to 100 ton stones, in Sacsayhuaman, Peru, which are put together with polygonal sides and shapes, which are just unbelievable. How did that happen? To Cahokia, right outside of St. Louis. It's done, I call it fallen angel technology, Nephilim architecture. And that's why we are on the trail of the Nephilim. It goes from Gilgal Raphaim, the wheel of the giants in Israel, where we were last year, to the island of Malta, Gozo. We are actually headed over to Europe on Saturday. We'll be filming for 3 weeks. It is everywhere, everywhere. And that's why we're on.
Let me go backwards just a little bit, what you said, sure. And then come forward. One of the most provocative things of what I've seen so far in the movie was this persistent narrative coming from Indian, Native Americans, feathers, not dots, Native Americans who insist that we didn't build this. The oral traditions all say we didn't build this. Chiefs that are long since passed say the Shawnee did not build these things. You know, those are some of the quotes. We did not build this. They're insistent upon this. But like you said, white man architecture came in and insisted, well, yes, you did. You just forgot. I'm sorry. You forgot. And, that was, then that begs the question, well, if you didn't build it, who did? And then going back, you mentioned Nephilim. We've heard that word. People like you, people like Steve Quayle, have really brought that word to the consciousness of the world, not just America, the world. How would you define a Nephilim for people who have never heard this before? What is a Nephilim?
Unless people understand Genesis 3:15, they have no idea of what the rest of the biblical prophetic narrative unveils. Because Genesis 3:15 is the key to understanding that there is a seed war which has been ongoing for thousands and thousands of years. Genesis 3:15, Adam and Eve are there, the serpent is there, Adam and Eve have just fallen, the serpent is there, the pre-incarnate Christ, Jesus, is there in the garden. People want to differ with that, fine. But I believe it's Jesus that is that's speaking. And he says something. He utters the mandate, the overarching theme of the entire Bible, and he says this. He points to the serpent and says, your seed, your offspring, will be at war, at enmity, with the seed or offspring of the woman. He, one who will come from the offspring of the woman, will crush your head. Crush, the serpent said. You, the serpent, will bruise his heel. The one who is coming from the seed of the woman is none other than Messiah himself. And that sets up the rest of the biblical narrative. Unless we understand that the serpent knows emphatically that, first of all, God cannot lie. Second of all, he's tipped his hand. The Most High God has told the serpent exactly what's going to happen. Someone from a seed, the offspring of the woman, will defeat you, crush your head, take your kingdom from you. And so he's panicking. And he's going like, I don't want that. And he wants to hold on to his kingdom. Three chapters later in Genesis 6, we read the unthinkable. The sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful. And they took wives from any of which they chose and went into them, that's the biblical sense, and had children by them. And their offspring were called the Nephilim. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterward when the sons of God saw the daughters of men, had children by them, and these were the great men of renown. So there's two schools of thought. The one I do not adhere to is the Sethite theory, which basically says that the sons of God are godly lines of Seth and the women of earth are the Hoochie Mamas of Cain, but the text doesn't say that. And the actual Hebrew is B'nei HaElohim, which always refers to the angelic host. The Book of Enoch, which is a pseudepigraphical book found in the Dead Sea Scrolls, quoted about 70 times in the Tanakh, and an entire paragraph is in the book of Jude, quoted from the book of Enoch, found, as I said, in the Dead Sea Scrolls, states that the angels, it regurgitates Genesis 6, but amplifies it. The angels saw the women of earth. And these, of course, are the bad guys, the fallen ones. So what we get, the consummation of this unholy union, is the hybrid entity known as the Nephilim, which is an overarching banner for these entities. They are soulless, in my opinion. They cannot be redeemed, and they occur throughout history, even until modernity, the present day.
I find it fascinating that, especially the Darwinian time and how scientists latched on to Darwinian theory, how archaeologists began to do it. You mentioned the 1890s, how kind of, you know, archaeologists started to bury all this. The Indians just forgot it, what have you. That idea came into all areas of science, and it started to ignore the Bible. It almost tried to disprove the Bible. But as time starts to flip and as time goes on, decades have passed, the Bible is proving to be more true even as we go. The more time that goes, the more accurate the Bible seems to be. Would you agree with that?
Oh, emphatically do I agree with that. Absolutely. And I am a biblical literalist, as one of my mentors, Chuck Missler, used to say. The time that Chuck used to get in trouble, and I'm quoting from him, is the times when he didn't believe in the Bible literally enough. So I'm a biblical literalist, and when it talks about, you know, Jesus returning, I think we're in the cusp where it's going to happen sooner than most people think. I think we're right in the time. We're not in the tribulation yet, obviously, but I think we're very, very close to it. So I'm a biblical literalist, a frank supernaturalist, that believes in scripture. And that is why we're on the trail. And that's why we're uncovering all this, because the worldview in which we view, all this and filter all this information that we get is through a biblical prophetic narrative. Other researchers who do not hold to the tenets of the Bible are clueless. They know something's going on. They know something's going on, but they never come to a conclusion because they don't understand the heavenly war. They don't understand the Genesis 3:15 narrative, which sets up that seed war, which manifests then just a few chapters later in Genesis 6 at the Tower of Babel when Abraham meets the five kings, Sodom and Gomorrah, and finally later on, much later on, with the conquest of Canaan. People have always had a trouble with that. I know I did when I first became a Christian and I read those scriptures for the first time. And the Most High God, the loving God, the one whom we, you know, bow our heads to and bend our knees to, states to Joshua and Caleb, go in, kill them all. Men, women, and children, burn, kill the animals and burn everything. That's genocide. That's homicidal. That's maniacal. That's diabolical, unless something else is going on. And the God of the Old Testament is not any different than the God of the New Testament. He's the same yesterday, today, and you know, in the future. So what we're looking at, this is why Genesis 3:15 is so crucial. The tribes that are in the Levant in the Promised Land are Nephilim. They're hybrid entities. There were giants in the land. What do you think Goliath was? So it's all there, but it's been dumbed down and obfuscated in most congregations, and many, many Christians have no idea of what this is. And Jesus warns us, it'll be like the days of Noah when I return. But what differentiates the days of Noah from any time in history? The long lifespan, which is a three-hour conversation, which I won't get into. But the primary differentiation is the presence of the Nephilim on the earth in those days.
You mentioned several things I want to go to. The Book of Enoch, I'll ask you later. Giants. Now, I'm not an expert or I'm not deep into this, but I casually get into this and I follow all these things about giants and your work and having people like you on. There is so much evidence about giants and about, skeletons and about finds and about this and about that all over the world. But yet, if you go to any museum, it's almost impossible to find a skeleton, an 8-foot, 9-foot, 10-foot, 12-foot skeleton. I mean, it's like somebody, either this is the biggest hoax we've ever seen in archaeology, or somebody or some group has purposely tried to wipe this idea of giants off the face of the earth. Which is it?
It's the latter, and I proved it in my work on Catalina Island, and I was never supposed to find the picture that I discovered, but I found it, I published it, and it was basically a 9-footer, just under 9 feet. The skeleton. Ralph Glidden was a primitive archaeologist. He was employed by the Hay Museum. The Hay later got gobbled up by the Smithsonian, and he was employed by the Hay to go and uncover these skeletons. And he writes about it, that he found this mysterious race of very, very tall giants. And so I got wind of this cache of records, which had been basically lost for like decades. And I went to the Catalina Island Museum and I sat down with the curator, and they brought out pictures and all the files from this lost cache of records. And within 1 hour, I'm pulling out stuff with my jaws on the ground. We published a photograph that shows Ralph Glidden in a recently excavated grave, and in front of him in situ is a very large skeleton. We had that skeleton analyzed by three different people. All of them, no collusion between them. All of them said, wow, this is just under 9 feet. Very, very tall guy. And it might be actually a little taller than 9 feet because the feet are actually in the dirt. So we don't really know how big this thing was, but basically 8 foot 9 inches. So you add on 3 inches isn't that much. So it's basically a 9-footer. Okay. And we, when we published that, the Catalina Island Museum, saw that and it freaked out and blew up the picture, put it up on their wall, did this whole exposition on Ralph Glidden, but they cropped the giant out of the picture. So we went back and we photographed that, and that went viral. So, we have proof of it. Steve Quayle's got some stuff also. Way to go, Steve. But not much is out there. And this is why we're actively on the trail.
Who is covering, who is or what force or, I mean, how do you explain this? It's easy for me to see or believe, from my limited perspective, that something is going on, an attempt to hide this knowledge or cover up this knowledge. Who do you think is doing this and why?
Well, it's the deep state. It's the powers that be. It's the people of the Smithsonian.
What are they afraid of? What are they afraid of?
They're afraid of God of the Bible because their paradigm is Darwinism. They are looking out for the neo-Darwinists in particular are looking out to the so-called extraterrestrial as being basically being responsible for our origins. In other words, we were created here by extraterrestrial entities. We were seated here. So they don't believe in the God of the Bible. They don't believe in prophecy. They don't believe in Jesus. Jesus was a good man. I love that one. He's a lot more than a good man. He is Lord and Savior. He's the risen Christ. So they're terrified of the supernatural. They can't have the supernatural. They're not interested in it. So they quash any artifact at all that may point back to a supernatural origin. 28-pound axe heads, 9-foot skeletons, weapons made of brass found in Michigan, which shouldn't be there, and on it goes.
We got about a minute for the break. Just quickly, for people who are listening, maybe not familiar with this, they may be thinking, wow, that's an awful big conspiracy. How in the world can they keep all that information hidden? That sounds ridiculous, L.A. What would you say?
I would say you got to do your homework. It's not ridiculous. I've been doing this for a long time, and there is an agenda. Chuck Missler, one of my mentors, would call it a managed agenda, because that's exactly what it is. It's ongoing. It's to manage the truth, and to steer people towards what I would call the coming great deception, and we can talk about that towards the end of the
yes.
show.
Absolutely, we're going to get into that. I think that is very important. I was fascinated talking to you about disclosure. Last question there's the music. I was going to ask you about the Book of Enoch. You got about 10 seconds. The controversy about it. I mean, is it real? Is it fake? What?
It's not fake. It's real. You should read it and appreciate its historicity.
Okay, well, we'll ask on the other side more questions. We'll get more into the film. Fascinating. L.A. Marzulli. LAMarzulli.net is his website. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, thepowerhour.com.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Foods, Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? ThePowerMall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at ThePowerMall.com today.
Dr. Joe Schneller.
The efficacy that we're looking for, that we're going to prove, is that carnivora wakes up this immune system and makes it dominant.
I highly recommend that you get started right away using carnivora, because it really will help you. Just follow the directions as the company gives them to you. And I just want everybody to know that there's been no one paid to do this. I'm doing this on my own because I care about everybody and want to see healthy people.
My husband has recovered tremendously after the physician suggested that he start taking carnivora. When he was doing so well, I decided to start taking it as well, and we're both so pleased to be able to feel healthy again.
Hello, folks. Richard Ostro of Carnivora Research International here. Visit carnivora.com or call 1-866-VENUS-FLY. That's carnivora.com or 1-866-VENUS-FLY. Call us.
Oxygen. It's nature's old.